This morning we will continue our study in the theme, How to Die Well. In the verses before us, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to his Heavenly Father, and he is setting a pattern, both by how he dies and what he tells us through these words about our experience of dying. John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. None of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you. These things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. In these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples things about the art of dying. He is explaining to them the hows and whys and wherefores of how he and they ought to leave this world and go to the Father. Underlying all that he says is this wonderful confidence, this tremendous trust. The disciples have learned that Jesus Christ is faithful and that in trusting him, they are the recipients of eternal life, that they will never perish, and that nothing and no one can pluck them, sever them, separate them from this relationship that is theirs in Jesus Christ and through him. As Jesus Christ knew that the hour of his death had come, he gathered his disciples in the upper room and taught them things that he had not spoken about during his previous 3.5 years of teaching. They were things that were designed to help his disciples both prepare for death and to engage in life. The last two messages have been focused on the subject of how this teaching should impact our lives and prepare us to die. You are not ready to live until you're ready to die. And the Lord Jesus wants us to have correct and accurate views, understandings, attitudes toward the art as well as the act of dying. Listen to these words that he spoke in his prayer to the Father. Father, the hour has come. I have finished the work you gave me to do. I am coming to you, Father. I'm going to leave this world. Father, I wish that those whom you have given to me may be where I am, that they may see my glory. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see these principles of truth expressed in the experience of the Apostle Paul. He gives us five pictures where he captures the essence, the truth of what Jesus had prayed to his Father and how that truth had gripped Paul's own soul and heart. These pictures give us understanding and attitude. They help us to see death differently. I was asked to speak at a funeral service recently. I knew the person who had died. I knew that their death had come at the end of almost 10 years of suffering, both physical and mental deterioration. I knew that the last months of their life were filled with acute loneliness and at times moments of near despair. I knew that for those who were taking care of this dear saint, they had become weary in well-doing. And I knew that the financial and emotional resources had been drained dry. I tried to think of a way to say to that congregation what I believe God wanted them to understand. So I said, sometimes death is a gift from God. You are used to thinking about death as a penalty imposed for breaking God's law, I said. But in the case of this dear person, death, release, was a blessing. When I was my first pastorate, I read a book by a pastor who had served the Lord for over 50 years. He was talking about various functions that a pastor ought to perform as he shepherds the flock and as he faces the myriad of experiences that come to the pastor. You are there when the newborn brings joy and delight. You are there when the young couple unite their hearts in love, devotion. You are there for the celebrations of anniversaries. You are there for the baptisms. You are there for the moments of deterioration, sickness, and death. This pastor wrote in the chapter having to do with death and dying that as a pastor, you need to learn to give people permission to die. I was recently visiting in one of our homes. The individual that I had gone to visit had suffered a long time. They had fought, they had exhausted all kinds of medical resources. They had traveled far and wide to advantage themselves with every possible way of sustaining health and life. I had the opportunity to kind of closet with them for a moment. And the questioning went something like this. You fought well. Is there any energy left? Answer, not much. Do you see any signs of recurring strength? Do you feel that the disease that racks your body is in remission in any sense? Have any authorities given you any indication that you're getting better? No. Are you ready to die? Here is the response. Pastor Jim, I can't die yet. In the next few moments, I listened to those words repeated in reasons why this person did not feel free to die. At the end of the conversation, we prayed. And during that prayer, I said to him, I am now giving you permission. Permission to release the responsibility of all of these reasons you've given me. You are free to die. When I said that, there was an audible, within days, death came. When we talk about death, we're talking about something that's universal that every one of us faces. We must be careful in talking about death that we do not make it an escape from responsibility. Neither should we miss the blessing that's designed for us if I am a child of God walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The Apostle Paul seemed to maintain that balance. He had written to the Philippians earlier. He was in a prison. And he had written to them that he, in his life, had come to a fork in the roads. And he said, on the one hand, I could depart and to be with Christ. And that, frankly, is incredibly the best option. Nevertheless, I sense in my spirit, Philippians chapter 1, I sense in my spirit that it is necessary for me to remain in the flesh to minister to you, the recipients of that letter. And that proved to be God's will for Paul at that moment, and he continued to live on. And history tells us that he was tried and released from prison and enjoyed several months of very active and productive ministry. Then he was arrested again. And from that second imprisonment, he writes this letter called 2 Timothy to his son in the faith, Timothy, to encourage, to admonish, to strengthen him. And when you come to chapter 4, Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, it isn't a pleasant thing to be a pastor. It's not an easy task. Matter of fact, it's not an easy task to be a Christian living in this world. Because as Jesus prayed in his prayer, the world hates the believer. And the prince of darkness, the ruler of this world, is determined to bring every possible pressure upon the child of God to make them capitulate, to make them quit, to make them compromise. Paul's writing to Timothy to encourage him to remain steadfast. And at the same time, Paul knows that his moments and days are few. And so he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, he says, Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. But you, watch, Timothy, you be watchful in all things. You endure afflictions. You do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I, and then Paul speaks about his attitude toward dying. Write these five things down. I am already being poured out as a drink offering,
Number two, the time of my departure is at hand. Number three, I have fought the good fight. Number four, I have finished the race. Number five, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown, or the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Five pictures Paul gives to us of the art of dying. How Paul viewed dying. What that experience meant to him. The first picture is the picture of a sacrifice, a drink offering. When people went to worship, there were certain sacrifices where beverages were poured out. They were poured out on the altar. And that was a picture of giving something to God. The Apostle Paul uses that as his first picture. And he says that he was already in that state of being poured out. I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The Apostle Paul had suffered long and hard. He had given his life and ministry to others. Day and night, he prayed and labored on behalf of others. One time, he prayed three times that God would take a thorn out of his flesh. He recognized that it was the minister of Satan to buffet him, and he recognized that God was behind the scenes allowing Satan this intrusion into his life. And so he ended up thanking God for the thorn, but thorns hurt. Paul was dying before he died. His life was an act of death to his own personal preferences and conveniences. Paul was no stranger to sacrifice, to difficulty. Paul had laid his life on the line. He was giving over his energy and strength and pouring himself out in an act of dying. Remember, he wrote to the Galatians about a physical problem that impaired him, and he even suggested there that he had weak or poor or bad eyesight. Paul was no candidate for the current health and healing rage among Christians in our nation. Paul was acquainted with affliction, difficulty, tribulation. And he didn't respond to those pressures by seeking his own personal protection and his own personal well-being, but rather he continued to pour himself out. He considered himself expendable. He was dying before he died. In the moment that Paul wrote this, he's in prison. He knows that very soon he will stand before the magistrate again. And he understands that this time it won't go well with him, that he will be martyred for his faith. But his martyrdom will not be a sudden dramatic flashing of the sword. His martyrdom began way back there on the road to Damascus when he met Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, what would you have me do?" And Jesus, from that moment on, took over Paul's life and directed him to live sacrificially, to die daily, as Paul said, to surrender his personal rights and his entitlements, to take upon his shoulders the responsibility of others and the care of their faith and teaching, serving, witnessing. Paul saw the moment of his death as that time when the last drop of his human energy and opportunity would be poured out. He had lived outwardly for the glory of God. He had lived sacrificially serving others, and he expected to die in that same manner. His death wasn't just the end of his personal life. Paul saw his death as being the end of his work. Like Jesus, Paul was saying, "I have come to that point when I will have finished the work you, God, gave me to do." The best way to die well is to live well. The best death is at the conclusion of many deaths. And those habits and choices that we make that distance us from convenience and that make us more and more different than the world around us, that brings pain and suffering. But when the final moment comes that you are released from this life, if you have been in the process of distancing yourself from the world and all of its attractions and all of its lusts and sins, that last step is an easy one. So sad to visit the home of someone who has recently died and sit with the family and say to them, tell me, how would you like the service, the memorial service, to go? And to see them struggle, trying to find some way they can pin goodness on Dad or Mom. But I remember once that Dad gave $5 to the Salvation Army. That's it. That's the whole of the memory you have of any evidence of faith in God and service to men from your dead dad? The reason they struggle is because so many people do not die daily. They're committed to their own selfish gratification. They're in life to get all the gusto they can get, and they're distanced and unconcerned about others and their needs. And so when they're gone, the family struggles to find testimonies of faith, evidences, some sign, some actions, some memory that shows that Mom or Dad was somehow committed to something beyond their own selfishness, their own consumer attitude to life. Not Paul. Paul left behind him a whole trail of continually dying. And friend, if you want to die well, live dying. Commit your life, as Paul did, as a poured out offering, as an expendable commodity, as a resource that God is free to use and that you will lavishly and delight to give to others for God's glory and for his kingdom. What a picture. Paul sees that the reserves of his life and strength and opportunity are about gone. He hasn't hoarded them. And the moment of death would be when the last drop of opportunity and strength slipped from Paul and splash upon somebody else's life for God's glory. Live like that, Christian. You'll die like Paul did. His second picture, he says, the time of my departure is at hand. What a word picture. The word departure is the word that was used when the vessel, the ship, cargo in place, crew in position, the tide tugging at its side. And departure was when they loosed the moorings, when they untied those ropes that kept that vessel snug against the pier. And once that vessel was untied, the tide and wind would have its way and draw that vessel out away from the pier, away from the dock, away out into the bay, through the opening of the bay and out into the sea beyond to some farther destination. And that's Paul's picture. Paul saw himself as one who was being tugged homeward. He loved heaven. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to go to be with his Lord. All the forces of heaven were pulling at him. He knew that that's where his citizenship was. That's where his love was. That's what his work had focused on, things that were eternal. And Paul said, it's time now for me to be loosed from my earthly moorings. Like a great ship, that noble soul would move out through the bay, onto the sea, and beyond to that distant land called heaven. The third picture Paul gives, I fought the good fight. As for the Lord Jesus, so with Paul, life and ministry were not easy. This world is not a friend of grace. The adversary hasn't quit. The forces of decay and sin and destruction are everywhere. Demons and those doctrines of demons that they spawn and those who are advocates of such things are constantly attacking. Paul saw his life as an agony, that's the word. An agony, a wrestling, a fight, a struggle. But he said, I didn't quit. I didn't capitulate. I have struggled. I have wrestled. I have refused to quit believing, and I have refused to be silenced about the truth. He said, that's over now. When the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples in the upper room, he said some things about what they were going to experience because they were in the world. We'll talk more about that in the next message. You see, you either make friends with the world and seek ease and comfort, or you make friends with God and accept the hatred, the criticism, the ridicule, persecution. For Paul, it was an end of the struggle and a beginning of incredible peace and joy. Fourth picture Paul gives is, I have finished the race. Paul understood that God had a purpose and plan, a course for his life. The Bible's very clear that God has a course and a call upon each of our lives. God doesn't want us just here fiddling our thumbs and spending time, and God gives us time and privilege and resources on the earth to do a work. We're not here by accident. We're here by assignment. Do you know what your assignment is? Paul did. And Paul could see that the assignment that God had given him was just about complete. I have finished the course. It's a picture of an athlete who has run the distance, who is coming down the final stretch, sees the tape in front of him, and behind the tape sees the awards, the trophies waiting. This is a picture of an athlete who has not quit, but has pursued the purpose of winning, gaining the favor, pleasing and honoring the one who's called us to run. Do you know what God has called you to do? You can't die well unless you can say with Paul and Jesus, I finished the work, Father, you gave me to do. I have finished the course you set for me to run. If you don't know what God's will, his purpose, his plan is for you, if you do not see distinctly what God is trying to do in our world through your life, and you can't die well. You can't live well. Paul did. The final picture he has is, I have kept the faith. In any relay, more than one person is involved. And it's not the person who gets to the end of the race first that wins. It's the person who gets to the end of the race first with the baton. And Paul understood that in being a believer, there was more responsibility than just living well. He needed to live righteously. That his life needed to be a reflection, a demonstration of truth incarnate. That he needed to yield to the Spirit of God within him and become translucent as the Spirit of God through the Word of God made Paul a demonstration of the work of God. And Paul would be able to say to others, you follow me as I follow Christ. Well, I've kept the faith. He didn't fumble the ball. He didn't take a side path. He didn't seek a shortcut. He kept the faith. He knew the word, was committed to the word as inscribed in Scripture, and his faith was about to become sight. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 7, we have the historic record of the death of the first Christian martyr. His name was Stephen. Stephen had just finished keeping the faith. He had just finished standing boldly before people who hated truth. And he had declared to them the whole counsel of God's word. And they were so irritated, so angry with Stephen, that they gnashed on him with their teeth. Imagine that. Then they dragged him out and began to stone him. And as the stones fell upon his body, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." I think in some measure that becomes the death experience of everyone who can say with Paul, "I have finished the course. I've kept the faith." For those folks, death is a joyous release from this earth to a place called heaven. And it's not just a mind experience, it's a total experience of their spirit, their heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ welcomes them in that land that's fairer than day. Jesus could say, "I have finished the work, Father, you gave me to do. I'm coming out of the world to you. I pray that these who are left in the world will be kept. I pray that others will come to know me through their witness and testimony. And I pray that when that ministry is over, they can join me in heaven and see my glory." And that's exactly what death is for the believer. It's a release from this world. It's a rest from the labors. Blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint. From henceforth, they cease from their labors, and the rewards follow them. For the Christian, death is a gift. It is a release. It is a homegoing. It is a blessing. Heavenly Father, build within us the attitudes that the Apostle Paul expresses here. May we count on the blessing of dying. May we look forward to that moment when we are released from this world to stand in that world. That moment when our faith becomes sight, our work becomes reward, our struggle becomes rest, our joy, our peace, our satisfaction soar. Thank you for the great, wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for giving it to us now so that we can live well and die well. Thank you for the believer following our Lord. Death is not a loss, it's a gain. It's a wonderful moment. Fullness. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. Death is horrible if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, do that now. The gift of eternal life is what God gives to anyone who will confess, "I am a sinner. I cannot save myself." Who will believe that Jesus at Calvary was God dying your death, paying your penalty? Who will believe that Jesus arose from the grave and is alive, and who will, with their own voice and with their own heart, ask Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior? If you will do that,
God will give you the gift of eternal life. And God will begin to reveal to you his call and purpose in your life. We are surrounded by friends and neighbors who do not know this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. For them, death is unthinkable horror and eternal loss. Will you ask God now to come into your heart? And if you are already a believer, will you ask him to enroll you in the race and to show you how you can be effective in touching the lives of others around you with the truth of the gospel, just like Paul did? Now, Father, finish the work of your word in our hearts and help us to live like Paul in order to die well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.